It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, especially on the stage. The first thing that came to mind is I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah. I like the white theme. White lights, white ribbon. Awesome. Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning.
I apologize for interrupting your social hour, all your fellowship, but we have an agenda this morning. At some point, we have to get to our passage and our sermon. I want to welcome you to Pacific Northwest Day at Rock Bible Church. We have some guests from the Pacific Northwest, somewhere around here. You look a little bit like me. It's my brother David and his wife Jessica. Now, make sure if there's glasses, it's David. If there's no glasses, it's me, okay? If he takes the glasses off, you're on your own. I don't know what to tell you, okay? But yeah, they got to come down and visit, and I tried to tell him, I wasn't sure if he was paying attention, but he's preaching this morning, so let's give it up for David. No? Yeah, there you go. So, and then we have the Luces, Mark and Robin Luce from the Pacific Northwest as well, came down. Mark was one of the original people to help us set up our tech side and recording and getting us online and doing cameras and all that stuff. He missed the memo about not being able to move away, and they ended up in the Pacific Northwest, but he still, they watch and come down from time to time and the whole thing. It'll be really easy to tell him apart from me. He has hair. So there you go. But it's great to have both families with us, and then the rest of you regulars and guests and visitors. It's great to be in the house of the Lord and worship. Amen. In fact, we're going to get to that at the very end of the passage this morning. We're going to continue in our series in the book of Hebrews. We're chapter 12 today, which means second to last. One more next week. We're going to kick off Advent season with the closing of Hebrews and get our grand finale conclusion from our book. And then we're going to jump into our Christmas series, which is, wait for it. You're going to have to wait for it. It's a Christmas series. So we'll start that in 2 weeks. And Christmas Eve, show up. Bring some. If you're in town, no excuses, okay? 3 o'clock or 4:30. You could pick either one. We're very, very accommodating. Myself, I'm having trouble picking, so I'm just going to come to both, all right? We would love for you to be here. We'll probably have some hot cider and some candy canes and little things like that. 1 hour, because God wants you with your family. Amen? So we're going to come. We're going to worship because it is the reason for the season. But you can come here at 3, be out of here at 4. Clear the parking lot, reset, 4:30, be out of here at 5:30, whichever one it is. But either one, make plans with your family and be nice to them. Okay, they're the only family you got. Okay, and if your family won't cooperate, we'll go hang out with somebody that's better than family. Okay, there you go. Where was I going? Oh, one more thing. Tomorrow night, men's group, 7 o'clock, right out behind this building. We're praying for no rain, and it doesn't matter if there's no wetness. We're gonna kick up the campfire, and we're gonna cook the sausages on the little cooker, and we're gonna keep going through our series on Peter. It is not recorded. It is live. What happens at men's group stays at men's group. So if you want to experience it, one, you got to be a guy, and two, you have to show up. Okay? If you have questions about that, you could see myself, Coach, Matt's in the back. There's a whole bunch of us. Nate, you could talk to. There's all kinds of us. All right. So we'd love to have you. Same thing, 1 hour. Women go much longer than that, but. We guys, our attention span is like, okay. Golly, the pressure of having your brother in the room, it's got me all amped. So let's go. We're gonna do Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 1 here in just a second. Let's pray, because you can do nothing but pray until you have prayed. Father God, we thank you for fun surprises, blessings, like seeing people you miss. We thank you for every day gifts and blessings like fresh air, health, family. And then, Lord, we thank you for the miraculous, the grandiose blessings that are above and beyond all that we could ask or think, that really are a mystery that you have solved. I pray that our passage this morning would show that, would draw honor and glory to you in the name of your Son, that your Spirit would guide it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing a series in the book of Hebrews. I've said a couple times now, I'll reiterate now, kind of the shortest version of the theme for the whole book is... No, that's the title for this morning. The Supremacy of Christ. The Supremacy of Christ. If you've yet to write that down on any of your notes, because you know there's a final after next week, we're gonna pass out a test. No, we're not. Write that down, the supremacy of Christ. And if you really want to add detail and color to it, like you like the analyst, but you like the color guy when you watch the game as well, write in all things. The supremacy of Christ in all things. There's no visual for this. This is a Sunday service extra, right? But in fact, I will, man, can I embarrass you, Scott Austin, for a second? We just finished a four-week study on gratitude, and he emphasized the supremacy of Christ in all things gratitude. It was great. If you missed it, you missed it. But you can always have the perspective of the supremacy of Christ in all things. And that's what the book's about. This morning, we're going to look at unshakable faith. Faith that can never be shaken. I need this passage and this sermon this morning because my faith is absolutely shakable. Now, I know none of you can relate to that, but maybe you'll understand as we get going. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's the quick prelude to the therefore. If Christ is supreme in all things, then let's run like it. Let's act like it. Let's talk like it. Let's invest like it. Let's serve like it. Let's show mercy and empathy like it. Let's forgive like he's in control and he's the boss. That works for me because I need a boss. I have to have a boss. Somebody has to tell me what to do pretty much all the time, or I get myself in a lot of trouble, right? There's a way that seems right to man and its end leads to destruction or death, depending on your translation. Right? I'm on that path pretty easy. I need a boss, and I need a perfect boss who shows me where to go and what's important. And that's what we have in the first 11 chapters. And so our author is saying, well, then let's endure what's set before us. Why are you still here? If you've accepted Jesus, right? You don't have to raise your hands right now, okay? But if you've accepted Jesus, I mean, aren't you supposed to like rapture all the way up, right? So you don't get hit by lightning later when you haven't, you know, and you come into church and you get hit by lightning. You know? Why are you still here? What's the, like the kindergarten? There's work to do. There's kingdom to do. What'd you say, Sally?
It's his plan.
His plan. He got plans for you. Otherwise, he'd have taken you already. So let's get about it. Let's be about the business of what he has moving forward. And how do we do that? Looking to Jesus, the founder, okay, he started it, and he made it perfect. And what did he make perfect? Our faith. Now, this is where I have to scratch my head. My faith? He founded my faith? That part I get, he perfected? I know my faith. I've felt my faith. I've thought about my faith. My faith is subpar at best. So how does this make sense? Jeez, God, I didn't know the test already started. He's perfected the concept of faith that it might be attainable for everyone. Now, do we experience it to its perfect level? Sometimes. It's like Michael Jordan when they asked him if he could fly. Well, for a little while. Can you have perfect faith? You can for a little while. Why? Because he made it possible. He started faith that we might have it. He perfected it that we might enjoy it. That's so great. Who, for the joy set before him, this is the, by the way, this is the Barr family verse, Nate and Joy Barr. For the joy set before them, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen?
Amen.
Those first two verses, it's like a banner cry. We've got this cloud of witnesses. We've got a race set before us. Let's run after it because we can do it to perfection because Jesus showed us how. Obedience in all things. Amen? Verse 3, here we go, keep going. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. He says, think about this. He dealt with a lot of hostility. Right? You ever feel like somebody stabbed you in the back, blindsided you, withheld information? Do you know that happened to Jesus at the ultimate level? Right? I love what it says in our book here of Hebrews. It says, you know, you haven't suffered to the point where you've had to shed blood. He did. And yet he kept going, no matter what they did to him, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Remember, he's been through it all, so you can keep pushing forward. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Did you like the commercial I gave you? So it could be worse. It's absolutely not as bad as what he went through. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? I love this. I want to be off stage when I read this, and I want to stand and face it like I'm one of you, right? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not sure you want to say amen to that, though. And chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. He says he lets stuff or causes things around you so that you get stronger, that you learn how to endure. Figure out how to make it through because the thing that you're going through is less important than God himself. It carries less weight and has much less power than Jesus. It's for discipline that you have to endure. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Well, I know my dad. We got a little discipline there. You not so much. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and sons. If you know, if life is too good, you might ask whether Jesus is doing anything with you. I just want a calm life, no drama. Really? I think God's the drama king, right? Pick a book, read a story. Besides this, verse 9, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Let's be subject to his discipline. And what's the promise at the very end? Last word starts with L, rhymes with give. That's how you live. You know, there's one of the ways you answer the question, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of life? To endure anything God puts before you and experience what real life is. Amen. Love that. 4, verse 10, they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. Can I just pause right here and remind you that dads are imperfect? And your memory of dad is imperfect. We do actually talk about this at men's group. Your perception as a 6-year-old boy or girl as to what dad did and what his motivations are and, you know, how hard he spanked you or anything. I mean, hope about that. When, let's just say your memory is limited. They were doing the best they could. I think that's an amen. Poor every dad ever is dadding for the first time. That's rough. Learning on the curve, right? But he disciplines us for our goad. What is that word? How does discipline go with good? Live it and see, right? That we may share his holiness. Discipline, obedience, correction leads to holiness. What is holiness?
Be holy, for God is holy.
Sinless. To be set apart. Set apart from sin, but to be set apart from the rest of the world. The ultimate use of the word holy is about God himself. Is he a set apart from all things? It means just he's way up here and we're somewhere beneath. That's the idea. How can we be set apart, set for the things that are good? Verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful. That's true. Rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You ever hated a lesson, but then after the lesson, you realize the value therein? I mean, that's been from parents to coaches to classrooms. And no, you need to learn this. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. He's saying we as Christians, we walk around like this. Like, oh, God, didn't this. It's like, you know, stand up straight like an adult with some maturity, with hope and faith in the future. Why? Because we have a founder and perfecter of our faith who's faithful. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. What did he just call us? I love this. He snuck it in there, right? Stop being lame. I swear I think I've heard that sentence from my kids. Dad, just stop being lame. Have you heard it from your God? There's no excuse for being lame before him. If he has you here, he has you here on purpose for a plan. Moving forward, something to work on. Get yourself in gear. Find healthy. Get help, counsel, support, accountability, whatever it is. And what was the command at the beginning? And I think it was run. Let us run. Strive for peace with only the ones you want to.
Everyone.
With everyone. Right now I hate those 5 words. I know, I want to be like you, Sally. And for the holiness without which no one will see. The Lord. Have you ever felt like you were waiting on the Lord? Sorry. I've told you guys so many times, I get paid by the bad pastor pun, okay? I got to hit my quota. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You have an effect on other people, always. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau. Ooh, man, I heard that his sacrifice was unacceptable, but this is one of the few places where I hear, find out that it was actually unholy. Who sold his birthright for a single meal. God is saying, don't do that. Never sell value cheaply. This is implying that you've got some kind of birthright in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Take it seriously. Give it value. Work towards it. Nourish it. Encourage it. And then be loud about it. Well, that's easy for you to say, Scott. You're loud. Amen. I'm one of the cloud of witnesses around you. For you know that afterward, verse 17, and this is a sad verse, you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. He wanted something in his relationship with the Lord, and he did nothing to pursue it. That's sad. Just a little bit of effort. It's meant to be one of the cloud of witnesses before us. You know, not all witnesses are good, right? You witness something, someone sets an example. Sometimes they set a bad example. I mean, let's not talk too much about mom and dad, because mom and dad were great most of the time, but mom and dad set some bad examples here and there. They were doing the best they could. But let's be careful not to follow Esau's example, where you had something right before you and you were wholly distracted. For you've not come to what may be touched. That's a weird sentence. For you have not come to what may be touched. You're not arriving at something that's physical. I just walked from the stage to the front row and I got my coffee. I can touch this cup. Sorry, I wanted the audio thing for you. I can touch the coffee. It's saying you're coming to something that is, rather than touchable, it would be untouchable, right? Great movie from the 80s, by the way. Kevin Costner, the Mafia. Anyways, you've not come to something that can be touched, like a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. What is that in reference to? Old Testament, interaction with God and the people scared because at the base of Mount Sinai or many other occasions, God shows up and they were freaked out because like, we might not make it through this. I want a better experience with God. That's what they had to do. Do we have a better covenant than they did? Absolutely, watch this. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Man, they had rules. I love our freedom in Christ, the graciousness of the new covenant, where if you made a mistake, there's a way out. There's a solve. There's forgiveness. Here he's saying, you know, we're not doing a life where it's just the touchable stuff, the things that you can see. There's something more than that going on here. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear, but you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. Love that. Such a grandiose little paragraph there. What's it saying? We used to have rules and we used to have a system. Now we come before God, not at Mount Sinai, but at Mount, anybody remember? Zion, there we go. Jerusalem, the new holy city where God dwells, where you're supposed to get close to God, not a temple, not a mountain, not an altar, not a sacrifice. He says, look, it's been made perfect. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. He's talking about God, not himself. For if you do not escape when they refuse, or if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Wow, I thought we had a better deal. In fact, didn't I just say we had a better deal? Because you do something wrong, you can be forgiven. There's grace. There's also a little piece in this that says, yeah, but if salvation and grace is so freely offered, and yet at the ultimate price of a Christ, a son sacrificed on a cross, then if you can discard that so easily, then you can also so easily be discarded. Ooh, we're going to find a better way to talk about this right now. Ready? Don't refuse him, because he warns from heaven. Verse 26, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This is a quote from Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, I think. Don't quote me on that. Unless it's right, then every day, okay? This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are... He's going to take away the things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Love that. Get out your outlines, flip them over, turn on the back. It says Hebrews chapter 12. And the title for this morning is what? Unshakable faith. So is it the faith in you that's unshakable? I mean, Bonnie's faith is so great. It can never be shaken. It's just like Scott and Coach. And boy, I want to have a faith like that. No. That's not the unshakable faith. It's those of us who have imperfect faith in unshakable things. Things that cannot be destroyed or unmade, like the grace of God. Can you shake the grace of God? Can you change his sacrifice in which he said it is finished? You can't shake that, can you? Can you shake his forgiveness? His plan? Let's thank the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and praise him that the blessings yet to be in your life are also unshakable. Wow. We freak out about shakable stuff. And yet Jesus, according to our author and the direction of the Holy Spirit, says, yeah, God set up a system that's better than that. You don't have to have hair to be important. You don't have to be a man or a certain this or a certain that. You don't have to have money. Praise the Lord. You don't have to have money to be forgiven. Amen. All right. Gates open for me. Right? So what is it? Let's keep going this. That is things that have been made, but things that cannot be shaken, because they will remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God, this is what I said when we started the service, my portion, when I got up here, I said, we're going to talk, isn't it great to worship? Yeah, last verse. Let us therefore do acceptable worship. Bring acceptable worship. Do me a favor, James, Jaime. Go back one slide real quick. Now go back. Let us offer to God worship. Is worship shakable? Well, I don't know, Scott. Sometimes when the worship's band going, I feel a good shake going on. It's not what I'm talking about. True worship can't be shaken. When you appreciate the Lord, it's eternal. It's divine. It lasts. Bring unshakable back to the God who has provided for you all things unshakable. Do it with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Whoa, a little shot over the bow at the end there. Right? Hey, you got a great deal? But if you want to stick in the shakable stuff, careful. It's all going to get burned. He's going to consume it. And then what you valued is will be gone. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. All right, let's jump in with at least three. We're going to have a little fun on this one. You're going to have to follow me with this. We're going to go a little bit above kindergarten. I know that's rare for me. But if you were going to have unshakable faith, let's call both, where your faith can't be shaken and your faith is in things that cannot be shaken. What do you need to remember? The first one you need to remember has to do with, what's that say, verse 1? Since therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of what? Witnesses. You got a bunch of cloud of witnesses. Now, when you have a cloud, like if we went outside, where would you find a cloud? Above you, right? This is the thing that I hate about the Pacific Northwest. They got clouds everywhere. I know why you guys came to visit. You wanted to see the sun, finally, right? No, because it covers everything, and you can't see the sun. Was that Aaron? Did Aaron say that? No, who said it? We're covered. Clouds cover. It says you have such a great cloud of witnesses. And this is a loose thing. But this goes back really kind of Greek. So we're going to do some Greek this morning. Oh, Scott, you didn't say there was going to be school. I hate foreign languages, right? That word covered, nephos. Only time in scripture it's used in this form. The root is used a bunch of other times. This is the one time it's used in this form, nephos. Okay? It can also mean like a great multitude, a large crowd, right? Crowd, cloud. I like to rhyme things. That's how I kind of remember things. So you get this massive crowd or this massive covering, right? Which, by the way, when they used to go into the temple and the synagogue, what did all the men have to do? Put something over their head? Go to Jerusalem today? They still got little things over their head? Why? Because they needed what? They need a covering. Why? Because you got to be protected from him. And you want to be disrespectful to him. At the same time, you want the provision of his blessing, covering. You know, scripture also talks about us coming under him like a bird, like coming under the wing of a bird for protection. That's that covering thing. If it's a crowd, then it's a crowd of what? Witnesses. Okay. What's a witness?
Well, Your Honor, we have a witness.
Sir, would you please take the stand? What'd you see? Well, I know there's many charges against Scott, but they're not true. I was there. I know better. A witness testifies on your behalf. You have a covering of a multitude crowd that is testifying on your behalf. How cool is that? The word for witnesses is
marturon.
It feels like Spanish, doesn't it? Marturon. Nephos, marturon. Everybody now, ready? Nephos, marturon. One more time. Nephos, marturon. All right? Sounds like Nephew Martin. Martos, martyr. The word for witness is actually martyr. We all think it's, oh, people that died for the faith. No, 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 it's people who testified to the faith on behalf of others. Just a lot of them got killed, so we started pairing death with the word martyr. It really just means witness, testify. I got to believe that the name Martin actually comes from that Greek word, martos, in this form, martyron. Nephos martyron. There you go. You did Greek with a Spanish accent today. All right. You're covered. What does that mean? That means I can sing with confidence. I am free to run. I am free to live. Why? Because you have the supremacy of Christ in all things. And one of the great phrases I've also adopted, I'm hoping maybe you'll adopt this too, is freedom in Christ. And then understanding what that means. For me, it's very similar to this covered idea. It's like an insurance policy, but I'm also covered not just for the things, more than just the things that I've done wrong. I'm covered in some direction. I'm covered in some future, on a pathway. I'm covered in future blessing. I'm covered when it comes to clarity. I'm free to run. Run for what? I'm free to live. Live for what? For kingdom, for him, for future. I love when there's like nothing at risk and you can just go straight forward, just straight ahead, fast as you can. And you're either going to get there or you're not. There's nothing at risk. That's why I love soccer. Sometimes it's just whoever goes full speed, the fastest, and you get the ball. If you go fastest and you don't stop, you know, and just you forget about everybody else or if they look bigger or what coach said or bad instructions, some parents yelling from the side, and you just go, there's a chance. And then you have fun. Then you have fun. I love the idea that we're covered. I love that this chapter of Scripture starts with that idea. I'm covered. I have people testifying on my behalf. I have people who have lived it before. None of them perfect, save Jesus. And all of them have had a shot. How cool is that? Why does Jesus come and walk in the garden with Adam and Eve? Because they messed up talking to a snake. Who talks to a snake? Don't talk to snakes, okay? You mess up and this is all wrong and I gave you one rule and you jacked up the one rule. Now, all right, come here. Come here, I'm gonna get some leaves. And I'm going to make you a covering. You know, Jesus' death on the cross, what does it do to our sin? One of the ways to look at it is it covers our sin. Love that. Your doubts are covered. Your failures are covered. Your shortcomings, your perceived inabilities, covered. Your value, covered. That's what gives you freedom in Christ. Oh, you mean now I can just go do whatever? No, it's kind of like eating. Can you eat whatever you want? No, Scott, you're kind of a living example, right? No, there's a lot of things you just should not eat. And there's a few things that if you eat them, you're gone in a few seconds. But there sure is a whole bunch of things you can eat. And here's the thing. This is what I learned in college. This is a weird thing that we did in college. It was playing soccer for the school team. 6 days a week, 2 hours plus every day. Grueling, way too much exercise. Sweat my weight sometimes. But do you know when you're running like that, you're exercising like that, you could go to the drive-thru at a restaurant that might be similar to like McDenver's. Or nacho smell, and you could get multiple combo meals and just double sodas, sugar, caffeine, fat, grease. None of it's healthy, right? If you want to die soon, go to fast food, right? But when you're running like that, I talked to my doctor one time. because I couldn't gain weight. Well, that's changed. My coach listed me for 4 years, 5'10", 150. I was neither. I could never get to 150 because no matter what I put in my body, just burned it away. I asked the doctor, I said, what do I got to do? I'm eating this, I'm eating that. And the doctor's like, well, those things aren't good for you. But at this point, with the level of activity that you're doing, you can pretty much eat whatever you want. That's food. And your body's just going to burn through it. What if, dare I project, your relationship with the Lord is the same? Scott, do you mean that things on earth might resemble the Lord and his kingdom and good theology? Yes. In fact, Jesus uses things on earth to resemble his relationship with the Lord or his relationship with us. You just went through it when he talked about how dads discipline their kids and they just do it in a way that seems right to them. You can have a relationship with the Lord where you're running, you're killing it multiple hours a day, and you're having experiences where you have much more freedom and much more covering, where people give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, how cool would that be? Say very cool. All right, find out. Try it. Number two, how would you know? Or what do you need to know? When it comes to unshakable faith, we might change a fill-in on this one too, by the way. I might give you another word to write under the second line. God, at the end it says the consuming fire, right? I didn't put the reference there for the last verse because it just hurt a little bit. But it also says that there's shakable stuff and unshakable stuff. And if you mess with God, let me ask you this. Are you unshakable? Oh, you can be shaken? Can you think of any examples in the Bible where God shook some people? Let's call Job. Jonah, right? The two guys that my family can't tell the difference between. Oh, there was a boat and there were some dead kids. I don't know which one's which. Does God shake people? Folks, your theology will never be solid unless you realize that God is capable of all things. And if he needs to shake you, worse than that, if he wants to shake you to get your attention, he might even want to shake you to set an example for someone else. In fact, he might even call the devil in and say, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous, blameless in all ways, better than anybody. Why don't you try and mess with him? Do you realize that your God said that to Satan? The Job story is initiated by God himself with one, I think, the worst question in Scripture. Hey, have you messed with Job yet? Go ahead. Do whatever you want to him, but you can't kill him. That's the Scott paraphrase, okay? Don't worry, I'm not coming out with my own version of the Bible. All right, it would offend too many people. God shakes those who seek. That's the new word that you're going to write underneath, because some of you will freak out if you put seek on the line and it was supposed to be stress. Oh no. When you stress, God shakes those who stress and seek things that can be shaken. He shakes those who stress the shakeable. Folks, this is like light bulb moment for me, ground shaking for me when I got this truth, realizing, oh, wow, this just really puts everything in two camps, and I know which camp God's in. Well, I paid you back. Yeah, but you were a jerk about it, and then the way you talked to me, and gosh, I let you keep the money just if I don't have to look at those facial expressions again. Well, you know, what's unshakable? When you ghost somebody and don't call them back, when you ignore someone. Can't shake that. When you get words out there. I love the comedian Brian Regan. He talks about saying something to a lady that's not pregnant. And he says, when's the baby due? And then he realized, oh no, the words out there already. Once the words are out there, can those be brought back? They're unshakable. Those things are important. How you invest in the unshakable is the whole game. You showed up on time or you showed up late. Can that change? Mm-hmm. Can't shake that. No, you might get shaken by those who expected you to be early. Right? That happens to me sometimes. And when you guys shake me, that's one thing. The fear of the Lord is that he could shake me to get my attention and that it would be hell-ish. Feeling separated from God or experiencing pain or loss because I was stressing or seeking the wrong things. My status, my position, my justification. Yeah, but I'm right. Nobody cares if you're right. You know, I'm just trying to figure that out. Nobody cares. No. So God shakes those who stress or seek the shakeable. So let's do this. Let's ask a question. We're going to close this up. This might be one of the easier filling guesses. What blank remain? It's a question. It's a dude's name. Sometimes you call him Bill. What will remain? According to this whole chapter, what will remain? Okay, step off the outline for a second. Just answer the question. Look at the title of the sermon. What's going to remain? The unshakable. Unshakable is the only thing that's going to remain. Jesus unshakable. Heaven, unshakable. His consuming fire, unshakable. All those things, that's what's going to remain. What is the passage, the chapter, then asking you to do? Be unshakable. Be about the things that are unshakable. Quit getting all twisted up. Or, I like this one. This is so great. This is for you guys up in the balcony. Quit getting shook. Young people, something happens. Oh, I'm so shook right now. Please don't ever say that again. Stop letting yourself get shaken up by the things that are shakable, that have no value. Would Jesus spend time on it? Does this hurt somebody? How much have you vested in that, and what has been your return so far? Does the scripture speak to it? Have you prayed about it? I hope that those questions are stirring in your mind some things that might come up that are specific and important to you that you and God can do business with that I never need know about. Amen? But the idea that you can have a perfect faith, why? Because Jesus founded that type of faith and said, let me show you how this can work. I'm going to cover you. Some of you have never accepted that covering. Jesus' death on the cross, the example that he set, the many times that he walked the planet, according to scripture, showed up on the scene to get our attention. You've never said, all right, Lord, I'll take your covering. I'll take Jesus as my covering from this day forward. Come in, take over. Show me what's unshakable. I want to live the unshakable life. I'm going to put my faith in that. If that's you, say that prayer. Make that decision. That's why we're here. Come talk to me after, or talk to someone else that's nicer. You're less intimidated by, whatever. David's much nicer than me, and he was a pastor for like 10 years and an elder, and he taught Sunday school. And a missionary in Turkey, combined over 12 years. I'm just happy he still let me do his wedding, right? Because just find somebody to talk to is the point. Amen? You'll never know what's going on there. But if it gets you closer to covering, chase it. Run with endurance. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our opportunity to choose you because you first chose us. We thank you that we have the witness of Christ who came and lived on this earth, walked among us, tempted in every way, and yet without sin, offering a sacrifice that was perfect and acceptable. We're so grateful that he proved your power over death, that sin has no hold on us. And we thank you for those who maybe have made that decision for the first time today. We are grateful and praise you for those who have made that decision previously. I pray that you would continue to show us how to put our faith in you, the most unshakable, and then the things that are important to you that you have decided can never be shaken. I know some of those things are different for all of us, and then some of those are exactly the same absolute truth no matter who we are. Help us to know the difference. Pray, Lord, that our church would be unshakable and that you would use this offering to do exactly that. So we thank you for what is about to be received and trust you will use it to your ends. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make sure you know that your past may feel like it's unshakable. It's happened, you can't change it. Jesus can shake some things that you thought were unshakable. That you may become and believe you are one of his unshakables. Amen. Go with him. Woo!